Sin is, tonight I'm going to focus in on John 21 and take us one step further on the acronym of SCAR. Sin is when we hit the wrong button. Lutheran Church has a fancy term for this, that's sins of commission. Catechism, you know, going back to the catechism. Or sin can be this, when we fail to hit the right button. We fail to do what God wants us to do. That's sin of omission. Very good. That reminds me of someone who hit the wrong button. I shared the story before, but I think it's just a great way to open up confession and get into the topic. On the island of Hawaii, there is something called the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency. You wouldn't recognize the building. It sits on the island, and the front doors don't look like there's anything impressive inside. You wouldn't think so, but there's something very impressive that happens inside. HEMA. As you enter through those front doors, the hallways twist and turn, the tunnels go into the earth, down below, underground, through rooms, and if you follow the tunnels, they go to two really hidden rooms in which there's a bunch of computers, sensors, knobs and buttons, you can imagine, and microphones. And it's in that room, important for you to know this, especially in the world that we're living in today, that room monitors if there's an intercontinental ballistic missile that's been launched in the Pacific Ocean. Really important that you know that there's a room that manages that and will let everyone know if one's on its way. Well, in 2018, one of the workers of HEMA walked through the front two doors and entered the hallway, entered like he had done many times before, twisted around the tunnels down into that inner room, inner sanctum, and he went through his routine, his training exercise, and while he was doing that, the story's told, true story, he got distracted and he hit the wrong button. When he hit the wrong button, it sent the alert throughout Hawaii and then all the way to the White House that there was an intercontinental ballistic missile that was on its way to the United States. That alerted the EAS system, emergency alert system, and people on Hawaii, but news spread pretty quickly, that the message on the phones was ballistic missile launched. This is not a test. And a true story that actually happened. Now, there wasn't a ballistic missile that had been launched. It was just someone had hit the wrong button. Had a bad day, I guess. Sin is that. Sin is when we hit the button and it causes damage on us. We talked about last week, and actually causes damage on others. Or sin is when someone else does something wrong and it damages us, or also damages them, but also others. Sin can also happen in systems. Whole countries can sin. That's in the Bible. Ninevites in Jonah. So whole systems can sin. Communities can sin. That can happen. We sin, we hit the button, and that's what we talked about last week, the S of sin. But what's critical, actually, is that we take a next step. It's what you do after you sin that really opens up freedom to us. And that is the C of scars, which is confession, right? Confession. I don't know about you, I think we tend to shy away from that, confession. We tend to go with other human strategies. Which strategy do you pick? When we sin, we tend to, number one, we deny. The words that I said, that didn't really hurt her feelings. Come on. What I did didn't really make that much, it didn't cause that much harm, we say. That's one strategy when we sin. Second strategy is very popular with the younger generation, social media. And that is to seek others. Maybe you don't do this on social media, but this is a common practice. You may not know it. That is to seek others out who might approve of what you've done. Then you feel like it's okay what you did. you know. Go to your friends. Kids might say, hey, at Johnny's house, his mom allows him to do that. Well, that doesn't make it okay, right? That's a way to manage sin. Here's another thing we do. We blame others. The Bible shares that pretty right away out of the gates. Hey, she did it. She gave me the fruit, Adam says. And we do it too. We blame others. You'd never do that though, right? You'd never blame each other. Yeah. Fourth strategy is we cover it up. We suppress it. Pretend like it's not there. We hide it. We carry. We manage it. Try to move on in life. The problem with all those strategies, pastor speaking, not this is not doctrine, just my experience with human beings, lots of experience with lots of people, is this. All those choices only imprison us more. No freedom. In fact, we become more broken. Mental health, worse. There's more damage to our lives. There's one strategy that the Bible gives us, and that is confession. Confession leads to freedom. That's the freedom. We're lighter when we confess. And I have to say there's another reason why I think we're shy to talk about confession also. A little bit of a concern I have is that sometimes that word has a heavy load to it. Or we have a sense of a formality to confession. Let me explain. Maybe if you had a Roman Catholic background, when you hear the word confession, what do you think of? Do you think of a... Okay, sounds like you've done that before. Yeah. And so when we hear the word confession, we think of a confessional box that we go see the priest, and we're on one side and the priest is on the other side. It's a very formal activity that happens, and that's good. But in Lutheran church, we also, when we hear that word, I think Lutherans tend to think that's something I do only on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock worship service. And we tend to think it has to be by a... some kind of rote mechanical words. So if you were growing up in the Lutheran church, you might remember these words, O merciful Father, we confess that we have sinned. How does it go? We confess that we have sinned. We confess that we are sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Do you remember that? And so the thought is that if we say the right words, then God will forgive us. My concern, I hear it from other pastors, is that we tend to think that confession is a very formal process. In fact, if you look up the word, the definition of confession in the dictionary, it says a formal apology or a formal admittance of guilt of a crime. That's what the dictionary says. It's a formal happening. You have to say the right things. You have to be at the right moment. You have to be dressed the right way. Then confession can happen. I think that's somewhat sad because I think that's why people are scared to confess, because it's a scary thing, or you know, they avoid it or they get through it, and it's really not a genuine connection. What I don't want to say tonight is that we stop doing formal confession. We're always going to do that in the church service. That's a good thing. I'm not saying not to do that. This is so critical. We can practice confession less formally. It doesn't have to be in the church, inside the walls of a church. That's actually, I think, a significant point in our text from John chapter 21. This is the confession of Peter. Remember, last week Peter really messed up badly. Jesus was in the upper room and said, one of you is going to deny me. And Peter said, I'd never do that. And then Peter did it. We know is really how he messed up and how he sinned. This text is actually his moment to confess to Jesus. This is his moment. Notice some details. The location. It's not in a confessional box. Okay? This doesn't happen in a church. It doesn't happen on a Sunday at 10 o'clock. This happens on a lake. Peter's on the lake and Jesus on the shore. Notice that, this is a funny detail. Notice that Peter doesn't have his Sunday best on. Did you notice that it said he put his coat on and then jumped into the water? Isn't that a really weird detail? Now, just a rabbit hole here. John, the author of this gospel, oftentimes paints Peter in not so good light. I think he was competitive with Peter, is my theory. So when John and Peter are running to the tomb, John says that he reached the tomb first, then Peter. What difference does it make? Why is that detail? And here's another detail. Why does he say he put on a coat on and then jumped into the water? He kind of makes Peter look kind of silly here. I think the point is that Peter doesn't have his Sunday best on. He's not at church confessing here. And then here's another amazing thought. Peter gets out of the water, and if you read the full text of John 21, we're expecting Peter to say, "I'm so sorry, Jesus. I messed up," because that's what we tell our kids to do, and give a formal confession. You know what? Peter's silent. There's no words. I hate to disappoint you Lutherans, but he doesn't open up page 5 and 15. He doesn't do that. The text says he's silent. Jesus sees his heart. Jesus sees the sorrow on Peter's heart. Peter doesn't say a word. Dear friends, it's powerful. Your God seeks you out when you sin. Your God sees the sorrow in your heart. You don't have to dress up and look fancy. You don't have to show up at church even and practice confession. Actually, what this text teaches us is we just need to have our heart open to the Lord so that he can seek it out and see that we're sorrowful, and he reaches us and offers his love. In the story of the man, to kind of close this out, in the story of the man and that was working for HEMA, he got fired fast. Whoa, does that shock you? No, it doesn't. He probably should have got fired. He was distracted. That makes sense. And when we sin, people fire us, don't they? They get angry at us. They get revenge. That's what they do. But there's a wrinkle to that story. There was a CEO in the United States, when he heard the story of this man who got distracted, he sought him out. He tried to find, and he did discover, his personal contact information. He wrote this man and actually offered him a job. True story. Well, isn't that actually what our God does for us when we hit the wrong button? He seeks us out. He sees our heart, our sorrow, our contrition, and he forgives our sin. That's the story of Peter. Peter wasn't seeking Jesus out. Jesus was on the shore, and the connection happened. Peter didn't even say a word, and Jesus saw Peter's heart. And that's freedom. Freedom was Peter's, and freedom is yours. So encouragement tonight, take one step further from S to C. Confession is the path to freedom. Amen.